shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.
The Herald of Truth broadcast is on the air, a program of spirit and truth dedicated to teaching the way of God more perfectly. These broadcasts contain keys to help unlock knowledge and reveal hidden truths of the Bible in these last days. Christians called to a higher level of understanding will be given Bible-based solutions to their personal as well as national problems. They will want to find out more about their part in God's plan. Our mailing address is Kingdom Identity Ministries, Post Office Box 1021, Harrison, Arkansas, 72602, and will be given again at the end of this broadcast.
Would you please give your prayers and attention to Rollin Randolph?
Dearly beloved in Christ, this morning we have heard of the meaning of the Christian Passover first, and then we took the pathway that led to the cross. And now it is time for us to ask ourselves the question, was this sacrifice of Jesus Christ and his blessed passion necessary? And why was the blessed passion of Jesus Christ necessary? And it has to do with a law, a little known law, and a more misunderstood than known law of the firstborn and of the first fruits. And we're going to deal this morning with the concept of the firstborn and of the first fruits. We're not going to try to get too many details in the way, because it would be my prayer this morning that each of you would be able to, in your mind's eye, to see the vision of what this concept of the firstborn and the first fruits really means to a people. Amen. And why it was necessary that God the Son, Jesus Christ, was sacrificed upon the cross of Calvary, which we remember this day. If you would turn with me for a beginning text to Colossians, the first chapter, verse 12. Colossians 1, 12, which reads, "Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence." And now turn with me to Romans chapter 11, the 11th chapter of the book of Romans. Romans 11, 16. "For if the first fruit be holy, the lump is also holy. And if the root be holy, so are the branches. And if some of the branches be broken off, and thou, being a wild olive tree, wert grafted in among them, and with them partakest of the root and the fatness of the olive tree, boast not against the branches, but if thou boast, thou bearest not the root, but the root thee. Thou wilt say, then, the branches were broken off, that I might be grafted in. Well, because of unbelief they were broken off, and thou standest by faith. Be not high-minded, but fear. For if God spared not the natural branches, take heed, lest he also spare not thee. Behold, therefore, the goodness and the severity of God on them which fell, severity, but towards thee goodness. If thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou also shall be cut off. And they also, if they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again. For if thou wert cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and wert grafted in, contrary to nature, into a good olive tree, how much more shall these, which be the natural branches, be grafted into their own olive tree? Now, dealing in these verses with one kind of tree, the olive tree, one is wild and one is not wild. And if you would look at Romans 9:4, which we will not turn to, you'll find that the adoption and the grafting in is only to Israel and Israel alone. We are, the whole book of Romans is in the context that by the blood of Jesus Christ and in, under the terms of the eternal covenant, that God, who had divorced his people Israel back in 721 B.C., and then had, while Jesus walked upon the earth, had cursed the fig tree, thereby cutting the nation of Judah, and the fig tree symbolized the kingdom of Judah, the southern kingdom, after they were divided, that we have a people, both Judah and Israel, who were lost. And by signifying that by the blood of the eternal covenant and by Jesus Christ's blood alone, the Judah and Israel were brought back together under the blood into to be one people, the Israel of God. Now, the whole book of Romans deals with this subject. And so we're talking about here both the wild olive tree and the olive tree. And we're talking about the grafting in. But the verse that we want to center in on this morning is verse 16. For if the first fruit be holy, the lump is also holy. And if the root be holy, so are the branches. Now, we're going to try to deal with three questions here this morning. Why was the incarnation of God the Son, Jesus the Christ, necessary? Why was his blessed passion necessary? That will be one question. The second question will be, what was the first fruit of the whole creation? And was it holy? And the other question will be, who was the firstborn of the whole creation? Was he holy? And was the root holy? We'll try to be dealing with those three questions with two parts to some of them. If you will turn with me this morning to the book of Genesis, chapter 4, verse 3 through 5. Now, thus far in the book of Genesis, we have walked through chapter 1 dealing with the creation, and we have two absolute laws of Almighty God in place. We have kind after kind in place 10 times in Genesis 1. Amen. The most basic of all God's laws. The most basic because he began kind after kind 10 times the number of ordinal perfection in Genesis 1 alone. Amen. Then we have, in beginning in Genesis 2, we have the institution of the seventh day, the Sabbath of God, in which he rests. So here we have, at this point, two laws that have been placed in the creation, one kind after kind, and one the law of the Sabbath. Now, God's law is from eternity to eternity. But all of God's law and every thought of God, believe me, has not been revealed to man. Amen. Was not in Genesis 3 and 4 and so forth, is not today. No man can know the mind of God. Amen. Now, in Genesis 3, of course, we have the fall and of Adam and Eve. And now we turn to Genesis 4 and start with verses 3. And it says, well, let's just start with verse 1. And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from Yahweh. And she again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit. Now, what brought of the fruit of the ground? Now, what are you talking about happening here? We have the very first fruit offering being made to Almighty God. Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto Yahweh. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And Yahweh had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain, who was born first in verse 1? But unto Cain, the born first, and to his offering, he had not respect.
Amen.
And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And Yahweh said unto Cain, why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? Now here we have in Genesis 4, at the very beginning of God's most holy Bible, the first offering of a first fruit by a firstborn. And we have, in that offering, it not being accepted, not the born first and not the offering. Now remember, Romans 11, let's turn back to Romans 11 and look at verse 16, just for a minute. I want to keep that in your mind all the way through this. For if the first fruit be holy, the lump is also holy. And if the root be holy, so are the branches. Now here we have the very first fruit offering of the born first of the whole creation. He who opened the matrix of our mother Eve. And it is turned down by Almighty God. And we have to deal with that subject. We look at Genesis 4:25, and it says, and Adam knew his wife again, and she bare a son, and called his name Seth. For God, she said, hath appointed me another seed instead of Abel. What about Cain? Abel was not the firstborn or born first.
Amen.
Whom Cain slew. And to Seth, to him also, there was born a son, and so forth. Now, what we have here is a substitution of the seed for Abel, whose name was called Seth. Now, let's look at Genesis 5, beginning with verse 1. And this is the book of the generations of Adam. In the day that God created man, in the likeness of God made he him. Male and female created he them, and blessed them, and called their name Adam, in the day when they were created. And Adam lived 130 years and begat a son in his own likeness after his image and called his name Seth.
Amen.
What happened to Cain?
Amen.
For those who want to hang on to verse 1 of chapter 4 and say Adam knew his wife and she conceived and bare Cain, what happened to Cain? Cain is not in the lineage of Adam,
Amen.
But Eve bore Cain.
Amen.
Now this means that what has happened here, that in the genealogy of Adam and Eve, that Cain does not appear. And here we have Cain appearing and being born of Eve, and Eve has been beguiled in chapter 3, and Eve has declared to Adam in chapter 4, verse 1, that she hath gotten a man from Yahweh. She thought that she had really received a son from Almighty God.
Amen.
She had been beguiled.
Amen.
Means to be led astray. Now, in the chapter 5, 4, 1, we have established the fact that Seth was the substitution for Abel, not for Cain, and he was in the likeness and after the image of Adam.
Amen.
The first one after the murder of Abel. Now, what about Cain? What has happened to Cain? We have, of course, we know the story of Cain. Everybody in this chapel is well acquainted with that story. But here we have an out of kind being,
Amen.
Being born to our first mother, Eve, and an out-of-kind being opening the matrix of the whole creation of Almighty God. An out-of-kind being.
Amen.
Whom the father was Satan.
Amen.
Now to confirm that, let's go to John 8:44. St. John 8:44, and we read, "Ye are of your father the devil." In the words of Jesus Christ, I rest my case.
Amen.
Turn to Matthew 23:33. "Ye serpents, ye generation of vipers, how can ye escape the damnation of hell? Wherefore, behold, I send unto you prophets and wise men and scribes, and some of them ye shall kill and crucify, and some of them ye shall scourge in your synagogues, and persecute them from city to city, that upon you may come all the righteous blood shed upon the earth, from the blood of righteous Abel,
Amen.
Unto the blood of Zacharias, son of Barachias, whom ye slew between the temple and the altar." This is the Christ identifying the seed of the serpent. You'll look in verse 2 of chapter 23. Christ is saying, "The scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat." Now, if you look at other translations, for instance, Farrar Fenton says that the Pharisees have usurped Moses' seat, which means they are not sitting there legally. So here we have a usurpation, and here we have a usurpation from the very womb of our very first mother Eve. The first fruit of the whole creation of God in all of Genesis 1 that was good and declared good before the Sabbath of God that opened the matrix of our mother Eve was a counterfeit spurious seed out of kind.
Amen.
Breaking the law in Genesis 1. Now this born first of our mother Eve was set aside by Yahweh. And his offering and himself was not accepted.
Amen.
Now, we are going to look at Exodus 13, Exodus 13, 12 through 15. Exodus 13, 12 through 15. And we're going to look at what should have happened and why this first fruit offering was made by the firstborn. "That thou shalt set apart unto Yahweh all that open the matrix, and every firstling that cometh of a beast which thou hast, the male shall be Yahweh's. And every firstling of an ass thou shalt redeem with a lamb," and so forth. Let's go down to verse 15. "And it came to pass, when Pharaoh would hardly let us go, that Yahweh slew all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both the firstborn of man and the firstborn of beast. Therefore I sacrifice to Yahweh all that open the matrix, being males, but all the firstborn of my children I redeem."
Amen.
If Cain had been the firstborn and one of his children, Yahweh would have redeemed him.
Amen.
But he rejected him.
Amen.
He was born a spurious seed and was not accepted by God.
Amen.
Now, if you can accept it, and if you will think about it and study it a little bit, you are looking right straight into the eye of what is known in the Christian world as original sin.
Amen.
This is the nature of the sin, and this is the reason of the sin. It was because Eve was set into production by the firstborn, which was born first in the creation, set into production for another besides Almighty God. And because this creature that was born was out of kind,
Amen.
And was not sanctified by God and was not accepted by God, you tell me, when you birth an out of kind creature, how do you make restitution for that sin?
Amen.
You have the creature among you. He is there. And there's no restitution. It is an irrevocable sin to fall out of kind, to go out of kind. So here we have, at the very onslaught of creation, we have the evil one, Satan, who had fallen from his highest calling and had beguiled our mother Eve, and had begotten one of his kind, which was out of kind of God, because it was a cross kind. Now, let's turn to Exodus 13, 1 and 2, and read that, Exodus 13, 1 and 2, "And Yahweh spake unto Moses, saying, Sanctify unto me all the firstborn, whatsoever openeth the womb among the children of Israel, both of man and beast, it is mine." The firstborn is his, and he will redeem it. Thus we have all the children of Adam and Eve with a malignity, not of the root, but at the root. The root, remember, was the created beings of Adam and Eve. God made them in his image and after his likeness. And he made Eve from Adam's rib. Therefore, they would be of one flesh. So here we have two beings to prove kind after kind. Precisely, we have Eve being made from the matter of Adam. Now, we have this malignity at the root, because of the out of kind birth of Cain. Now, if the firstborn cannot be sanctified, then can the mother be redeemed? How is a, for instance, when we move on ahead in the scriptures to the time of Abraham, and we have the institution of the rite of circumcision of Abraham as a sign of the covenant, how are the women circumcised? They're circumcised by the firstborn. That which opens the matrix. Well, let's move that back, and the same concept moves back to the very beginning, even though the law of was not actually put into place until the time of Abraham. The same concept of the firstborn and firstfruits was present in Genesis 4, because we just read about the offering. Therefore, we have our mother Eve, who fell, and we have our father Adam, who fell, and we have her matrix having been opened by one who cannot be redeemed, cannot be sanctified, and therefore can she be redeemed, because she brought forth an out-of-kind firstborn. And you will find that if you will research that, that it cannot be done. That is one of the reasons that we stand here this day acknowledging the blessed passion of Jesus Christ, which we'll be looking at. Now, as we move forward from this time, we know that the tenth or the tithe also belongs to God.
Amen.
The tenth of everything belongs to God.
Amen.
So we go along and we go to the tenth generation, and we have a very interesting person show up. Let's look at Genesis 6:9, and you're going to be looking at the tenth generation. And we find a man whose name was Noah. These are the generations of Noah, Genesis 6:9. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations. What does that mean? Was he after the out of kind being of Cain?
No.
Or was he after the substitute seed of Seth?
Amen.
Directly from Adam. Here we have one who was perfect in his generations. Now, without the concept and the thinking of the law of the firstborn and firstfruits, I want somebody to interpret that verse for me at that position in the book of Genesis. You'll find it has practically no meaning aside from the concept that we're now looking at. Now, we move ahead to another tithe. Let's move 10 more generations down, and all at once we look at Abraham, the 20th from Adam, the second tithe. Now, I want to go back and just make one other slight point about Noah. We know that Noah had, there were three sons that came on the ark, Japheth, Shem, and Ham. And we know that the chosen seed came through Shem. We can read that in many places. Who was the firstborn of Noah? Japheth. Why did the seed line go through Shem?
Amen.
Question. All right, we're going to let that just hang there for a minute. You think about it. Now we move ahead to Abraham, who was the second tithe.
Amen.
Of the creation of Adam and Eve. He was the 20th. And within Noah's day, as we remember the flood, this first tide brought judgment upon the world. And so you can look at the first tithe of Noah as a tithe of judgment.
Amen.
And when we look at the second tithe of Abraham, we're looking at election.
Amen.
And here we have an election of a man called out of the darkness, especially anointed by Almighty God, and set aside for a particular purpose of God within his creation. Now here we come along with Abraham, and Abraham's firstborn was Ishmael. Interesting. And Abraham's secondborn was Isaac. But who was Sarah's firstborn?
Isaac.
Interesting little thought there, isn't there? We can read in Genesis 21:12 that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, the secondborn of Abraham, the firstborn of Sarah.
Amen.
Now, Sarah was circumcised in her firstborn by Isaac. And Abraham was circumcised at age 99. And so here we have the law of circumcision placed in order in Abraham and in Sarah. Now we look at Isaac, and Isaac is the chosen seed in which the seed would be called. And here we have Isaac bearing twins. And who was the firstborn of Isaac? And who was the secondborn? And through whom did the chosen seed come? Interesting thought, isn't it? Let's look at Genesis 25:23. And we read, "And Yahweh said unto her, Two nations are in thy womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels. And the one people shall be stronger than the other, and the older shall serve the younger." Verse 28, and Isaac, let's go on up to verse 30. And Esau said to Jacob, "Feed me, I pray thee, with the same red pottage, for I am faint." Therefore his name was called Edom. And Jacob said, "Sell me this day thy birthright."
Amen.
Birthright. You see, Esau had the birthright. Esau had the birthright, and he sold it to Jacob. Now, let's turn to Romans 9 for a moment. Romans 9:11. We're going to read about Esau and Jacob in the book of Romans. An interesting thought, isn't it? Chapter 9, verse 11. "For the children being not born," we're talking about the two children of Esau and Jacob, "neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God, according to election, might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. It was said unto her, The elder shall serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated."
Amen.
Now this is an interesting thing, that here we have Esau, the firstborn, that's going to be hated by Almighty God.
Amen.
Before they were even in the womb. And the second born, Jacob, was to be blessed, and there was to be the chosen seed. Now, as we move on down the line, we can look at Jacob. Let's look at Jacob for just a moment. And we have the first born of Jacob was Reuben. So Reuben, accordingly, should have had the birthright. However, we know, as we will study Scripture a little further, that Reuben lost the birthright, did he not?
Amen.
Now, how many firstborns have we talked about so far that opened the matrix that have kept the birthright? Not a one. He was set aside for defiling his father's bed. So Reuben lost the birthright of Jacob. Now, here we come along to the firstborn of Rachel. Remember, we had two handmaidens and two wives, and the firstborn of Rachel was who? Joseph. And who received the blessing and the birthright for all of Israel? The firstborn of Rachel, but not the firstborn of Jacob. Now, Jacob's name was changed from Jacob to Israel, and we have one more son born. who can we can look at just as an interesting little side view here. We have one more son born from Jacob after his name was changed to Israel. Just one son. And what was his name?
Benjamin.
Now let's just fragment forward for a minute with me and think, from whom, which tribe did all the disciples come from?
Benjamin.
Isn't that interesting? The last born of Jacob, the firstborn of Israel, the last born of Jacob, is the tribe which Jesus Christ chose each and every one of his disciples out of. You just can't deny that there has to be something to that. Now, of course, most of you know the story of Joseph's birthright and Judah's scepter, but just two little points that I want to make on that. The firstborn of Joseph was Manasseh. But whom did the birthright go to?
Ephraim.
The firstborn, the first who broke the matrix, we'll say, of Judah, for Judah was, whose hand came out first and then was drawn back? And then who was born, by whom did the birthright come down from Judah to carry the scepter away? From Pharaoh. But the arm of Zerah broke the matrix and entered out into the world first. And they tied a little red string, and then he withdrew the arm, and all at once Pharaoh was born. Now, you try to explain to me what all that's about, that tying that string on and pulling it back. I tell you, it's something to behold. Now, my question is, do you see a pattern in all these examples? Now, these are certainly not in any way the full extent of this subject. We're just trying to look at a concept right down to the bullseye. And I think that there is a very present pattern which comes forth from these examples. I'd like for you to turn with me to Matthew chapter 19, verse 30, and let's see if we can come up with some answers to why there is a pattern to these examples. Matthew 19, 30. And here we come along. We are speaking the words of Jesus Christ, and it says, "But many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first." What's that mean? Anybody ever read that and wondered what that meant? Let's look at Matthew 20:16. In the words of Jesus Christ, "So the last shall be first, and the first last, for many be called, but few chosen." Mark 10:31, you can read the same thing. Let's look at Luke 13:30. Luke 13:30. In the words of Jesus Christ, "And behold, there are last which shall be first, and there are first which shall be last." Christ just keeps saying this over and over throughout the Gospels. What does it mean? What can it mean? Let's turn to Hebrews 10:9 for just a minute and look at one other scripture, Hebrews 10:9. "Then said he, Lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second." Now, all these scriptures are leading to something. Now, let's look at Revelation. I'll just tell you about these. Revelation 1:17, Jesus says, "I am the first and the last." In Revelation 2:8, Revelation 2:19, John 1:15, you have other references to this. In Revelation 22:13, now we're in the last book of the Holy Scripture, and here we have recorded Jesus Christ saying, "I am the Alpha and the Omega." What does that mean? Beginning and the end. "I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last." Three times he makes reference in Revelation 22:13. Now, why was the incarnation of Jesus Christ necessary? Jesus Christ is called the second Adam. the second Adam. Remember in Romans 11:16, if the first fruit be holy, the lump is also holy.
Amen.
Was the first fruit of the first Adam holy?
No.
If the root be holy, so are the branches. Was the root holy? Yes, it was. God created Adam and Eve.
Amen.
And Adam, the root was holy, but the first fruits were not holy. Okay, so here we have, if the root be holy, so are the branches. Let's look at John 15, St. John 15, verses 1 through 16. John 15. And that's the second part of the quote, the quote from Romans 11:16. If the root be holy, so are the branches. Now we're going to look at St. John 15, 1, starting with 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, for the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. If a man abideth not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, they are burned.
Amen.
If ye abide in me, my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments, and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be fulfilled. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. All right. Here we have Jesus Christ as the vine, and here we have him declaring that the branches cannot stand on their own, because if they are not connected to the vine, they will wither, and men gather them and cast them into the fire. Now, if the root be holy, so are the branches. Now, in our little orchard that we have two kinds of apple trees over there. We have some of God's, and then we have some of man's. Some of God's are the way that God would have an apple tree to grow, and then in our ignorance, we bought some of man's. And just above the ground, when you look at that rootstock, there's a great big knot on those trees. And then you have a tree that looks like an apple tree. It has leaves on it that look like apple leaves. It has fruit on it that looks like apples. You taste them and they taste like apples, but they are not apples. They're counterfeits. They are not. They are what man has done, because that tree was cut off and the center of that was opened up, the matrix of that rootstock, and another grafted in there. And it grew together, and so you have one kind of root and another kind of branches.
Amen.
And it's out of the order of God.
Amen.
Now, in using this example of an apple tree, it's necessary because that is what happened to our first parents.
Amen.
We had an absolute perfect rootstock in Adam and in Eve because Almighty God created them.
Amen.
And made them. And they were, everything was good in the creation. Satan come along and cut that rootstock off right at the ground, and he put in his own little spurious scion on there, and let it grow into a seed, and it was a spurious tree, which looks like an Adamite. Sometimes they talk like Adamites, but they are not Adamites.
Amen.
They are Canaanites.
Amen.
And they are counterfeit. Now, God the Son, Jesus the Christ, was incarnated into this creation and into time because it was necessary in order to save the root stock, that there be another perfect firstborn of a new recreation of that root stock.
Amen.
And that lump is the seed, the root is the race, and his passion was that grace. One of our presuppositions are a seed of a race by grace. Tying that to Romans 11:16, we can say a lump of a root by his passion, because if the first fruit be holy, the lump is also holy. Now, do you see the necessity of the virgin birth of Jesus Christ?
Amen.
Do you see God the Son being incarnated into the womb of the Virgin Mary and being born and leading, walking the pathway that he walked to this cross and his blessed passion to fulfill the sacrifice of the original sin in order that we who stand on this side of the covenant, and yes, those on the other side of the covenant, which we'll be talking about tomorrow, we who stand on this side of the covenant might be redeemed.
Amen.
He was manifested to redeem us. Now, if we look at the Romans 8:29, let's look at some of these scriptures. Romans 8:29, and we'll run several of these rather rapidly here to try to put a little structure on this skeleton. Romans 8:29, and it says, "For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren."
Amen.
Hebrews 12:23 reads, "To the general assembly and church of the firstborn." What kind of a church is that? That's the Christian church. Christ's own church. "To the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, perfected, regenerated in under the blood of Jesus Christ." Now let's look at John 3:3. I'm sure everybody here has heard this read over and over and over and misinterpreted about that many times. John 3:3. Jesus answered, he's talking to Nicodemus here, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again," or born from above, "he cannot see the kingdom of God." Why not? Because of original sin. You have to be under the rebirth in order to see the kingdom of heaven. You must have the rootstock of the race of Adam, but you have to be under the rebirth and the blood of Jesus Christ to see the kingdom of God.
Amen.
Verse 5, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." What is the flesh? This race of Adam. What is the Spirit? The blood of Jesus Christ in the recreation and regeneration of a seed of a race by his grace and by his blessed passion on the cross. It's interesting for you to go ahead and read the rest of John 3 in this light. I think you would enjoy it very much. However, we will not do it now. If you'll turn to Hebrews 1:6. Hebrews 1:6. "And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten, into the world, he saith, and let all the angels of God worship him." the only begotten Son of God, Jesus Christ, the first begotten in this world, the firstborn in this world. John 1:1. Let's look at St. John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 12. But as many as received him, to them he gave power to become the sons of God, small s sons of God. What was Adam before the fall? How was he created? A small s son of God. With full access to the tree of life, with life eternal bearing within his very being. Now we have a way back, it says, that by the power of Jesus Christ and under his blood to become the sons of God, redeemed, regenerated, repurchased, bought with the price of his very own blood.
Amen.
Verse 13 says, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. We don't have anything to say about this.
Amen.
You don't choose God. He chooses you.
Amen.
The first requirement is that you be of the rootstock of Adam. And the second requirement is that Jesus Christ call you out of the darkness into his marvelous light and graft you back into that rootstock of perfection, that we might walk to the kingdom according to his way. Now, let's look at Revelation 13:8 for just a moment. Revelation 13:8. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, talking about the Antichrist here, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb, slain from the foundation of the world. So here we have, if we will look at eternity as the total of all and time as just a small section on a line, you're going to see that this Lamb was slain before the foundation of the world, before the world ever was. So while Jesus Christ is spoken of as the second Adam, he is the second Adam in time and in creation. But he is the first Adam in eternity.
Amen.
So you have the concept here of the first Adam shall be last, and the last Adam, Jesus Christ, shall be first.
Amen.
So you have the recreation taking place by the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, Jesus Christ, God the Son, in his resurrection, which we'll be looking at Thursday of this week on the day of the wave sheath offering, at his resurrection became, now we already have him, the firstborn of the recreation because of the incarnation and the virgin birth. So he is the firstborn of the new creation. Now we're looking at the first fruits of the new creation and his blessed resurrection, his rising from the dead, coming up, being raised the third day from the dead. He became the first fruits of the new creation. Now, our text, Colossians 1:18, let's turn back to that just for a minute. Colossians 1:18. You'll find many times that the word firstborn and firstfruits are used sometimes interchangeably, and here we have both connotations in 1:18. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. Now, who was dead? Everybody was dead.
Amen.
Every person within the creation, every Adamite, died because of original sin and had no choice and could not in any way overcome this malignity at the root.
Amen.
No way except through the incarnation of Jesus Christ, that in all things he might have the preeminence. Preeminence means that he might be first. He is the king, the prophet, and the high priest.
Amen.
Jesus Christ himself. So he is not only the firstborn of the new creation, but he is the first fruits after his resurrection of the new creation. Praise God. Let's look to Revelation 1:5, and it says, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood.
Amen.
Made the way that we might enter thereinto. And in Revelation 14:4, speaking of these virgins that stood on the mount with the Lamb, these are they which were not defiled with women, for they are virgins, and they are which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. These were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto God and to the Lamb. Now here we're talking about the first fruits of his church triumphant at this point. But the first fruits of the recreation. Now, let's turn back to 1 John 4:9. 1 John 4:9. In this was manifested the love of God towards us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. His only begotten Son was sent into the world. Verse 10, herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. And let's look at 1 Corinthians 15:20. 1 Corinthians 15:20. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead, first Adam and the second Adam.
Amen.
For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive, but every man in his own order, Christ the firstfruits, afterward they that are Christ at his coming, him being the firstfruits of the new recreation. Let's also look at verse 44 while we're here in 1 Corinthians 15. It is sown in a natural body. It is raised in a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first Adam was made a living soul, and the last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Now the last shall be first, and the first shall be last. Howbeit, that there was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is of the Lord from heaven. As is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. And as the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And we have borne the image of the earthly, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly.
Amen.
Now I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. But I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be all changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. All right, now let's look at James 1:18. And of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures, vice regents under Jesus Christ, a kind of first fruits of his creatures. And then let's look at Galatians 3:29. And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Now we have two requirements here. You have to be Christ and you have to be Abraham's seed to inherit the promise. And both are necessary. You have to be born of the rootstock, and you have to be reborn after Christ came and clipped that rootstock and put the right tree back on the right rootstock and recreated the rootstock of Abraham. Jesus Christ, the firstborn, by his incarnation of the new creation and the first fruits of that new creation by his resurrection. In him alone we live and we move and we have our being. Romans 11:16, let's look at that. That's where we started, and I want to end there. Romans 11:16 states, if the first fruit be holy, the lump is also holy. Now, if you want to look that word lump up, you might look at 1 Corinthians 5:7, and you will find out that redeemed Israel is that new lump.
Amen.
If the first fruit be holy, the lump is also holy. Israel is that lump. Jesus Christ is the first fruit, and he be holy.
Amen.
If the root be holy, so are the branches. He cut that lump out just above that rootstock and regrafted in the wild olive tree into the right rootstock. And all at once, the branches are also holy because they're on the proper rootstock. Now, this concept of the firstborn and of the firstfruits, it is really a law of firstborn and law of firstfruits, but it is the concept that must be followed in order to understand the necessity of the rebirth and of the recreation of a seed of the race by his grace.
Amen.
It is the law which required the blood of Jesus Christ, and we dare not ignore this concept.
Amen.
The reason that Jesus Christ hung upon that cross and perfected the sacrifice was because of this very concept and this law. If it were not for, we will never understand the crucifixion, and you will never understand the resurrection apart from this concept of the firstborn and the firstfruits. So it is my prayer that by God's grace that you will be able to see a glimpse of light through this concept and will take it, make it your own, restudy it, and by his grace may come to the conclusion that I have come through in my study of it, that it is one of the great keys that will unlock the reason and the necessity for the very passion Jesus Christ.
We pray that your spiritual ears have received today's message and that you are fed with strong meat relevant to solving the needs of our nation and Christian civilization everywhere. Herald of Truth is sponsored by Kingdom Identity Ministries through the financial support and prayers of listeners like you who love the truth of God's Word and want to see it broadcast throughout the land to awaken His people. If you would like a CD of today's message, tell us the date and station to which you are listening and send a donation to cover our costs plus help with radio time to Kingdom Identity Ministries, Post Office Box 1021, Harrison, Arkansas 72602. We would appreciate donations made by our international listeners to be in U.S. funds. For a free introductory packet of information, including our doctrinal statement of beliefs, plus lists of books and tapes to aid you in your study of biblical truth, write Kingdom Identity Ministries, Post Office Box 1021, Harrison, Arkansas 72602, USA. Or request this material by calling 870-741-1119. That's 870-741-1119. Visit our internet website by going to www.kingidentity.com. Type www.kingidentity.com. We invite you to listen regularly to Herald of Truth broadcast for more dynamic messages proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom at this same time and station.